Father, we do thank you for your great love for us. And we do thank you for your word. Help me this morning. And help us all not to distort your word, but to set forth your truth plainly. And we pray too that you would teach us by your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please do sit down. And do have the Pew Bibles open in front of you at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And you can find that on page 1160. Page 1160 of the Bibles in the pews. Our theme this morning is we do not lose heart. And those are the key words of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And you'll find an outline of the sermon on the back of your service sheets. Paul writes, "Therefore we do not lose heart," twice in this chapter of 2 Corinthians, even though there were plenty of reasons for discouragement in his situation. He'd suffered hardships in the province of Asia, as he described in chapter 1. And he was still hard-pressed, perplexed, persecuted, and struck down for the sake of the gospel. That's chapter 4 and verse 8. His converts in Corinth were troubling him and stabbing him in the back, and so distracting him from evangelistic opportunities in Asia, in Troas. And that's chapter 2, verse 13. He was facing opposition from false teachers who'd infiltrated the church in Corinth, who were peddling the word of God for profit. Chapter 2, verse 17. And yet challenging both Paul's personal integrity and his authority as an apostle. Why be a Christian missionary? It had cost Paul his career and his health. Why be a preacher? Many reject the gospel message, chapter 4, verse 4. And then some of those that do repent and believe cause you pain and sleepless nights. Why be involved in Christian ministry? Why be a scout or a pathfinder or a cipher leader? Those thoughts and questions must have gone through Paul's mind and probably go through ours from time to time. Are we tempted to lose heart sometimes? I know my heart sank at the prospect of the clocks going forward this weekend and losing an hour's sleep, especially as I had to drive back from our home group weekend away late last night. And I know a number are still struggling with the length of this term, with Easter being so late this year. Will we lose heart going parish visiting these next 2 weeks? When we find no one in, or some not wanting to know? Or will we persevere? And maybe we are hard-pressed in other ways as we go on in the Christian life and in Christian ministry, which tempt us to lose heart. Maybe it's opposition, persecution, exams, unemployment, ill health, bringing up children. Well, Paul also mentions at the end of chapter 4 and the start of chapter 5, our outlook on growing older, on bereavement, and on death. But Paul says we do not lose heart in verses 1 and 16. So why does Paul not lose heart? And why are we not to lose heart in our Christian ministry? Well, that brings us to my three headings. The first of which is, since we have this ministry. Verses 1 to 6. Look at verse 1 to begin with. "Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart." Paul doesn't lose heart because of some inborn true grit that he has. It's not that he's a John Wayne type. Rather, it's because he has this ministry from God, which imparts forgiveness, the Spirit, and the glory of God. The privilege of having this ministry and the life-changing effects of this ministry are enough to keep Paul going through thick and thin. This ministry then is a glorious ministry. To go back to 2 Corinthians and chapter 3, verses 6 to 9, Paul writes there that God has made us competent as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? This ministry is a ministry of the new covenant in Christ. It's a glorious ministry. A ministry of righteousness, of reconciliation, and of the Spirit. It brings people life, salvation, and righteousness in Jesus Christ. It's a ministry that is able to transform people's lives. Look at verses 16 to 18 of chapter 3. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. How could Paul lose heart? Now, we may not be an apostle, and many of us may not be upfront preachers or gifted evangelists. But if we're believers, we have all been given gifts by God to use in ministry. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. To build up the church, to help in gospel ministry. And we're all commanded by Jesus to go and make disciples of all nations. So we too, therefore, share in this glorious ministry, whether in background or in upfront ways. Now, times of discouragement come to all of us engaged in ministry. And sometimes we might even be tempted to give up. So whatever our particular ministry is, we do well to say with Paul, since we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. I was struck by this attitude when reading about the recent violent attacks on Christians in Kaduna in northern Nigeria. Thousands there have been brutally murdered by Muslim gangs. One family was attacked and the husband killed in front of his wife and four children. The wife was then asked to choose which two of her children should die. She refused. So the Muslim writer seized her two sons and slit their throats. In one evangelical church, 10 women and children were forced into a room, doused with petrol, and set on fire. All died. One of the women with a little child in her arms. The church in northern Nigeria is certainly under pressure. But Bishop Benjamin Kwashi has called for Christians to behave as believers there, saying this: the Christians are certainly being provoked and pushed to behave like unbelievers. We resist this and will continue to resist this temptation, because if we give in, we will have no gospel to preach. We will have no light to shine. And we will have lost the opportunity of the evangelization of Africa, which I believe should be a Nigerian project. Since we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Paul was also very aware that he had this ministry only through God's mercy. Through his letters, we know that he never forgot that he'd been a persecutor of the church. His awareness of the great privilege of this ministry also caused him not to lose heart, despite all the difficulties and the sufferings involved. This ministry is a gift. We receive it from God. It's given to us because of God's mercy, not because of anything we've done or who we are. It's a privilege. Since we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. And when God, through his mercy, calls and commissions us, he also supplies the strength necessary for us to persevere in the face of hardships and persecutions. Do we believe that? Some Christians in southern Sudan know that even as the government in the north continues to bomb Christian mission stations and hospitals, including one recently run by Samaritan's Purse, the Operation Shoebox Agency. Jesus promised that as we go and make disciples of all nations, he will be with us until the end of the age. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. No, instead we are to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of our calling and handle the word of God correctly. Rather, in verse 2, Paul goes on, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Unlike the false teachers who accused Paul of deception and distortion, he had nothing to hide, either in his personal life or in his preaching of the word. In the carrying out of this ministry, we too must refuse to use deception or to distort the word of God, whether in parish visiting or in some other context. No, we simply need to set forth the truth plainly. Yes, we need to apply it. We need to help people understand it, but we don't need to manipulate it to make it effective. Presented in a straightforward way, with a reliance upon the Spirit, the Word of God will achieve the results for which God sends it forth. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 10. Some people won't understand or respond, but we are not to lose heart in the sense of giving up when that happens. Look at verses 3 and 4. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Unbelievers' minds have been blinded by the God of this age, by Satan, and they fail to see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. And if the gospel is all about the glory of Christ, his death to pay the price for our sin, and the resurrection, then like Paul, we are not to preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, crucified, risen, and ascended. And in our ministry, we are to humbly regard ourselves as servants of those to whom we preach and teach or minister in other ways. Look at verses 5 and 6. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. It is God's work. We are to preach Jesus Christ as Lord, and the Holy Spirit will do the convicting. Secondly, we do not lose heart because, verses 7 to 12, we have this treasure in jars of clay. Look at verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Jars of clay were inexpensive and fragile, easily broken. Here, those who bear the glorious light of the gospel, and therefore all Christians, are compared to jars of clay to show that the power released through the preaching of the gospel is from God and not from us. And that principle is illustrated in verses 8 to 12. Verses which show that the power of God not only sustained Paul and therefore sustains us, but also worked through him and works through us to bring life to others. Look at verses 8 to 12. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Paul was continually exposed to danger and death. And yet at the same time, he experienced the power of Christ's life at work in him and through him. Do we experience, do we know the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Thirdly, we do not lose heart, since we have the same spirit of faith. Verses 13 to 18. Look at verse 13. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Paul is here quoting the writer of Psalm 116, who maintained his faith in the midst of suffering and said, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have the same spirit of faith, Paul says, we also believe and therefore speak about the faith. Paul, you see, had a confidence in God, a God who raises the dead, which enabled him to keep on preaching, knowing that it would benefit his hearers and bring thanksgiving to God. Look at verses 14 and 15. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Do we have that confidence in God? Do we believe and therefore speak? Finally, look at verses 16 to 18. Therefore, Paul says, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Paul was outwardly wasting away through trials and through growing older. I don't know about you. I don't know how you're feeling about getting older. We're all getting older, aren't we? Paul says we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. And if we've been born again, inwardly and spiritually by the Spirit of God, then inwardly we are being renewed day by day. However weak we feel, then as one commentator puts it, the resurrection life of Jesus is glowing inside you like an atomic pile, radiating the energy of the world to come. So if you're a Christian, do not fret too much about getting old. Rather, fix your gaze on the invisible things of the next world. Outwardly, we may be getting nearer to death, but inwardly, we are getting nearer to glory. So do not lose heart. The best is yet to be. We have a sure and certain future hope. And for those of us who are perhaps grieving at this moment, perhaps we've been recently bereaved, we've lost a loved one. Well, those who have died in the Lord, we don't have to mourn without hope. There is a future hope, a sure and certain future hope. As Paul states, the outward troubles are but light and momentary compared with the weight of the eternal glory we are to experience as a result. How did Paul endure and persevere? By keeping before him the glories of the yet unseen world. Let's pray together. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Amen.